Well, praise the Lord. Good morning. Are you happy to be together with the body of Christ? Yeah, man. Yeah. Give it up. Woo! I really can't get over, people. I just can't get over people. It's so great to be with this body, to have you in the same room together, to have you guys joining us virtually as well. I want you to open your Bibles to Psalm 14, if you can. And do you need some good news? Yes. All right, because if you open social media and the news, you don't really get much good news right now. It's a lot of bad news and a lot of heartbreaking news and things we can pray for. But I want to give you some good news. So I got two messages from Mary Kay Ayers and from Bill Jordan. And today, right now, there's a packed house at Parkway Church, North Chesterfield. Yeah. And so we give thanks and praise for what God's doing there. We give thanks and praise that the church is gathering. The fact that Pastor Mac led during COVID and launched a church online, who scripted that, right? And so it's just been a glorious thing to see. And the fact that that team, not just him, but that team that is Parkway, but it's different now. It's Parkway, but it's different. They're our brothers and sisters, and they are now worshiping and seeking to reach a different part of Chesterfield that aren't going to drive to Moseley. And so I'm thankful for what God's doing, and I'm thankful that they didn't go, you know what, this is too hard, I'm not doing it. But they pressed in. And can I just say praise God for that? And so I want to read Psalm 14. Yeah. And I think it's some good news for the day and age that we are in. But Psalm 14 today says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good." Does that statement not explain everything we're seeing right now? It just seems like, man, there is none that does good. Everybody seems to be looking out for their own interests and not for the interests of others. Right now, I want to tell the whole world, memorize Philippians 2, right? Especially 1 through 4. I don't care what color pigmentation that we have with our skin. Everybody should be looking out to the interests of somebody else. And we need to repent, right, for the fact that we haven't been looking out for somebody else. And so, man, we need to look out for that. So he's got a word here. This is not the sermon, I promise. Anyway, so verse 2, "The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God." Do you understand that God is looking down right now? He's been looking down for generations, but he's looking down right now, and he's looking to see if there's anyone who understands and who seeks after God. If you are like me and you've watched the news and your heart is broken, I went down to downtown Richmond last Sunday, just walked the streets with some of our leaders and prayed because I wanted to see for my own eyes, what is going on? I don't want to just read on social media. I want to talk to people. So I'm not scared of getting COVID. There you go. All right. So, and I went and talked to people and I just wanted to find out, why is your heart breaking? We don't have time. The Lord looks down on those who seek him. And do you understand? God is looking for people who seek him. Today, he's been looking for people who seek him yesterday, and he's going to look for people who are seeking him tomorrow. They all have turned aside. Together, they've become corrupt. There's no one who does good, not even one. And that is true of our entire world. "Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? They are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous." Isn't that a great promise? If you wonder, what's going on? God says that he is with the generation of the righteous, not the self-righteous, but those who've been made righteous by God. Verse 6. "You would shame the plans of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge." Verse 7, "Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. And when the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice and let Israel be glad." So would you do me this favor, whether you're at home or you're here? I know we've already stood and sung, But I want us to stand and pray, all right? So put your Bibles down. And I know that our brothers and sisters from Parkway Church, North Chesterfield, aren't here right now. But we're going to take some time and pray a prayer of blessing over them. And so I'm also going to pray a prayer of blessing for the opportunity that we have to give back to the Lord. So I want to say to you, Parkway family, and to you, Parkway family, who are worshiping online, I don't know how to say this as genuinely. Thank you. Thank you for the way that you have persevered. Thank you for the way that you continue to persevere during a crazy time in our globe, in our world, that has been compounded now but an even more uncertain time in our country in particular. As rightly so, we're repenting for horrible racism that has taken place in our country. We still, should we repent of that today? Yes. Should we repent of that tomorrow? Yes. Should we repent of that yesterday? Yes. Yes, we should. It's right for us to repent of that. But let's pray. I want to just say thank you to you for the way you have loved God and loved people, the way that you have given during the last 3 months. Like, we are further ahead financially this year than we were at this time last year. Tell me how that makes sense. Other than God, right? So can we just extend a hand? You can either pray like this, however you want to pray. If you don't want to put your hands up, you don't have to. I'm not telling you have to. But I just want to tell God thanks. I want to share some good news together with him. All right, let's pray. God, thank you, thank you, thank you for your blessings on us. Lord, thank you that in the midst of hurt, God, in the midst of isolation, Father, that our world has been thrust into, and God, rightly so, to protect people, but Father, we are still suffering the effects of isolation. God, thank you that you haven't abandoned us. God, thank you that you are seeking those, you are looking down for those who seek after God. And Lord, your word is so full of promise that if we will seek after you, God, you will find us, you will seek us and find us, you will show us that you've been with us the entire time. And so Lord, we bless you. God, I bless you for the children that are in this room. God, I bless you for the families that are in this room. I thank you for the children and families, God, that are worshiping online. I thank you for Pastor Jonathan and Michelle and so many of our team who have worked to make sure discipleship with children are continuing to happen, God, even during times when we're told we can't all get together and be in rooms together. But Lord, we know that that's not the answer, Father. We know that that's not the day we look forward to. We look forward to the day of the return and the revelation, full revelation of Jesus Christ. And so God, thank you for how you've given. Thank you that we get the opportunity now to give back to you. Father, not just with our time, but God, also with our resources. Thank you for this team who continues to lead us in worship, God. Thank you for Parkway Church, North Chesterfield. God, whom today, God, you have poured out your blessings in a packed house there, God, as they seek to make much of King Jesus in a different part of our county. Lord, even though our world is in the shape that it's in, that does not stop us or you from doing what you have called us to do. And God, that is to make disciples, that is to walk with Christ, that is to invite others. Lord, that is to seek to serve together as we plant churches and send missionaries. So God, help us to be about your business. And we pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Have a seat if you would.
I praise the Lord with all my heart among the saints of God. Glorious and awesome are the deeds of our great God. He shows his power. Shows his people that he is faithful.
Awesome is his name. If you have a Bible, man, that's good stuff, isn't it? We're going to sing it again at the end. All right, you get an opportunity to sing it again, I promise. All right, so Proverbs 1, all right, and that's not an audible. They know that's coming. All right, so just so you're clear. All right, so if you have a Bible, open up to Proverbs. We're kicking off a series in Proverbs. We're calling it Wisdom for All Times because our world needs wisdom right now. And hear me, we need wisdom. Like, can I be that honest with you? We need wisdom right now. We need wisdom to know when to shut our mouths, when not to post things on social media, all right? We also need wisdom to know when to open our mouths and when to speak the words of God. Amen? Some of you can look at your spouse and say, I need wisdom. Go for it. All right, don't say you need wisdom. That's not nice to say. All right, so here we go. All right, Proverbs. As we dig into Proverbs, I want us to understand this is different than any other scriptures, okay? Proverbs is different than the rest of scripture. It's not a narrative like the rest of the Old Testament and the Gospels, okay? Narrative means that they're telling stories of what happened, describing things. It's not the Proverbs. The Proverbs is not an epistle, okay, like what we just finished with 1 Peter. That was directives. We live our Christian lives like this, very clear things that we should and should not be doing as believers, amen? Like, and I want to say thank you, by the way, for some pushback this week, because one of the points in the message this past week was confessing our sins to one another. And I had a few people actually contact me and say, Pastor, where's that in Scripture? Because it wasn't in the text that you read. And I'm so glad that you said that. We were talking about being watchfully vulnerable with one another, okay, and what real vulnerability is like, and be humbling ourselves before one another, casting our cares before the Lord. And one of the practical applications I gave you was confessing your sins to one another. I had somebody ask me, are you telling us that we're supposed to be Catholic? I'm like, no, I do not want you calling me and telling me all your sins every week. That is not what I want, all right? That's not what I want. But the Bible says in the book of James chapter 5 that we're to confess our sins to one another. So as soon as I share that with folks, they're like, okay, great, thanks, it was in scripture, that's all I needed. And I'm like, yeah, but I want to just say thank you to this body, okay, for actually saying, where is that in scripture? And I give you full, like, autonomy, permission, please, if you find something or I say something, you're like, hey, wait a minute, I want to make sure, it's there, all right? And check me on that, amen? Cool, all right, so Proverbs, all right, the epistle letter of instruction, last week, 1 Peter, it's also not prophecy. All right, this is not prophetic scripture, all right? This is different than that. The prophets, all right, that we read, major and minor prophets, that's prophecy, okay? The book of Revelation, that's prophecy. But Proverbs, if you had to boil down Proverbs to one statement, it's this. Proverbs is Solomon's Twitter feed in the Old Testament, okay? It's the shortest way possible to dispense wisdom. And Proverbs is chock full of it. But the way it's organized is a little different. So we're going to preach it the way it's organized. 1 through 9 is more what we call exegetical-like messages. You get kind of a common idea in chapter 1, a common idea in chapter 2, a common idea in chapter 3 that Proverbs unpacks all the way through chapter 9. So we're going to preach it that way, all right? We're going to preach Proverbs 1 through 9. But then you get to chapter 10 through about 29, and it's like somebody took the Proverbs and went, like that, because you get like 2 or 3 verses about marriage, and then you get 2 or 3 verses about money management, and you get 2 or 3 verses about how not to be ugly when you speak, and then you get 2 or 3 verses about how to be sharp when you speak, and you're kind of like, I don't understand this. So what we're going to do from chapter 10 to 29 is we're going to take themes, about 7 themes that we can find all throughout the Proverbs, and we're going to teach those themes from 10 through 29. So those of you who are out there who believe we should be preaching exegetically, we are, and we will when we preach that part of Proverbs, but it would be weird for us to preach chapter 10, all right, because we'd be covering like lots of different things with 10. That's for you and our Bible. We're going to read Proverbs every day. So today's the 14th. What Proverbs should we read? Come on. 14, all right. Tomorrow will be the 15th. We're going to read Proverbs what? 15. And I want you to think, what's one takeaway, one application point for me from this proverb that I can begin applying today? Okay, and then we're going to do the same thing that we did with reading through Paul's letters. We're going to send out a link that you can start on June 30th, and we'll read through the Proverbs for a month together, and you'll actually get to see how this applies in your life with other people. If you go to that little comment section, I'm looking at Dave Romig shaking his head. I have so enjoyed the last 60 days with you, brother, because he has been so faithful to write one thing that God has taught him. And it's been refreshing. Like, I'll see it pop up like at 7:22. And then it's funny, like 7:22 and then 7:32, I'll see the couple days that he or I missed. And we'll comment those. And it's been so refreshing to see that. So we'll do that again in July. And I hope you join us in doing that. Give me a couple weeks notice so you can join us with that. But that's how we'll teach Proverbs. And then we'll capstone it with 30 and 31. And when we get to 31, I need all the women not to show up that day. I mean, I want you to come, all right? Don't not show up, but please come, because I promise you it won't be laser focused at you. I'll approach Proverbs 31 from a way that I don't know that you may have heard in a certain way before. So we'll get there, all right? That's how we're going to do Proverbs. So the word proverb is an English word. It's made up of 2 Latin words, pro, which means instead of, and verba, which means words. So literally, Proverbs means instead of words. And I know some of you are like, Pastor, would you apply this to your sermon? I'm going to do it, all right? So a proverb is a sentence that's given instead of many words. It's a short statement that summarizes a wise principle. So the Hebrew word translated proverbs literally means a comparison. So as we see, many of the Proverbs of Solomon are literally comparisons and contrasts. That's why you'll see one that says, don't do this, and then you'll see one that says, do this, and it's almost like they're saying the opposite. You're like, how can that be true? Because they're comparing situations. So Proverbs is what's called wisdom literature, and it's in a set of 3 in the Old Testament. So you have Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. All right, so Proverbs is wisdom. Wisdom is being personified in a young woman who's a teacher. And that's her voice throughout Proverbs. And I love the picture of this young woman teacher in Proverbs. And it's beautiful to watch the theme, which culminates in chapter 31 with this personified woman and how she's applied wisdom and what happens when that wisdom's been applied throughout her life and how she's receiving blessing in her business and she's receiving blessing in her family and what God's done because she's applied biblical wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, though, wisdom isn't a young teacher woman. Wisdom is a sharp, middle-aged critic. And his bent there is that sometimes horrible things happen to really wise people. Sometimes foolish people get rewarded. And when you and I scratch our head and we're like, well, that's really not the way the retribution principle that we see in the Old Testament works, but that's the way life is, right? Like sometimes evil people get power. And it's hard to wrap our heads around that. That's what Ecclesiastes is about. Then the book of Job, wisdom is seen as a weathered old man who has seen a lot in his day. So maybe we'll get to Ecclesiastes and Job after Proverbs. We'll see. But right now, Proverbs, for us to understand, Proverbs is not good advice. All right, as we read this, I don't want you to say it, oh, this is just good advice. But it's God's invitation to you and I to learn from previous generations. All right, so the collective book of Proverbs is like all the wisdom from generations that God has given to us. And what a gift Proverbs is. Proverbs is not law, like Genesis through Deuteronomy, but Proverbs is about probabilities. So they are truths, but they're not always what's going to happen with a proverb. So like in Proverbs, they're going to advocate for the fear of God. So Jonathan just sang about it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom, all right? So if essentially the principle is we fear God, things will go great. And if you don't fear God, things will go poorly. Hear me, these are truths. It's true that if you fear God, things will go well. And it's true that if you don't fear God, things will go poorly. But it's not a guarantee. Because sometimes, like we saw in Ecclesiastes, sometimes wicked people succeed in their ways. And you're like, how can this be? So Proverbs focuses on the general truth of the general rule and does not focus on the exception. That's what Job and Ecclesiastes is for. That's why we read the entire counsel of God's word and not just one book. So of course we all love the Proverbs because they're generally true. Now hear me, when I say that, I am not saying that the book of Proverbs is not totally true, inspired, infallible, the word of God. It is. It's just advocating a general truth. If you understand, say, I got it. If you don't understand, say, heretic. All right, cool. Awesome, cool. All right, that's what I needed. All right, so Proverbs focuses on the general rule, but not the exception. So Proverbs, literally, and that's why we've called it, the series title is for all times, wisdom for all times, because Proverbs is for every person in every season of life. Like, it's wisdom for all times, because it was written, most likely, most of them were written by Solomon, who is the wisest of all time. So we talk about people being the goat, like the greatest of all time. Well, Solomon was the woat, all right? He was the wisest of all time. You didn't think it was funny either. It didn't work. All right, so we'll cut it for the next service. So I want to ask three questions. All right, here's the first one. Why Proverbs? Why spend the time doing what we're going to do? Why Proverbs? Because we need wisdom in every season of life. And certainly, church, we need wisdom in this season of life. Amen? And Proverbs literally offers wisdom to everybody. Like young and old, you can be 5 and read the Proverbs and wisdom is for you, and you can be 85 and the word and the Proverbs is for you. It's literally for every season of life. Proverbs says this, literally, you too can gain wisdom. No matter your socioeconomic status, no matter your color of skin, it is available to all. Whoever, the only people who aren't going to gain wisdom are the people who don't read it. I had a conversation with a brother this week, and he was sharing with me some things that were going on, and I was like, hey, when's the last time you read God's word consistently? And he talked about years ago. It's hard to hear the voice of God if you're not reading the word of God. It's just really hard to sense his presence when we're not reading his word. And I know that may seem like black and white simple, but man, it's not. It's not, and it happens, hear me, it happens to all of us. So So let's keep reading. We need wisdom in every season of life. Life has demands that need wisdom. We need knowledge. We need instruction. And Proverbs teaches the difference between wisdom, knowledge, and instruction and how they work together. So knowledge is simply accurate information gained by a person through experience or instruction. Instruction is direction, teaching, and education on how something should be done, operated, or assembled. I see some people in here who are instructors. You guys give instruction. I think about you, Ms. Duell. You give instruction in the work that you do day in and day out. So knowledge and instruction. But wisdom is different. Wisdom, this word wisdom in the Old Testament is this word chokmah, which literally means skill or applied knowledge. Exodus 31, 1 through 3 talks about the skill ones, the artisans, the crafters. Those were the ones who literally are described as wise. They're taking what they know and they're applying it. Wisdom is the ability to use knowledge in the right way, and true wisdom is not just a matter of the mind alone, but it's a matter of the heart. True wisdom is a spiritual matter that needs the Holy Spirit to know true wisdom. So wisdom hungers and thirsts for knowledge. Wisdom receives instructions and doesn't despise it. And wisdom is the accumulated insight of God's people throughout the generations. Number one thing when people text me or people call me and go, Pastor, how can we pray for you? You know the one thing I ask them for? I say, please pray that God would give me wisdom. One of the things I pray for my kids, I pray that they would have wisdom. Wisdom to know how to act, wisdom to know how to live. And God has also given us Proverbs to help his people develop a set of practical skills so we can live well in God's world. So stand with me if you're able in honor of reading God's word. We're going to read Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. Now, we're not going to cover the whole chapter today. We'll read a few verses from the rest of this chapter. But Proverbs 1, 1 through 7 says this, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and what? Come on. Instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, that's business, in righteousness, in justice, and in equity. Man, don't we need this today? I just want to like walk down the streets of every major city in the United States and just read Proverbs 1 out loud, right? To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. And then verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Knowledge. Later on in Proverbs 9:10, we're going to get there in a minute, it says it's the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, second question, how do we gain wisdom? And I know you're still standing, we're going to read one more verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. So look at verse 9 of Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, if you're able to flip there. And it says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One. Are you catching this? The knowledge of God is insight. Let's pray. God bless the reading and the hearing of your word. Lord, I can't help but think about A.W. Tozer's words that the greatest thing we can think about is what we think about God. What we think about God informs everything else. And Lord, that's not just a Christian perspective. That is truth. It is wisdom. Wisdom comes from you. Knowledge comes from you. Insight, instruction, God, comes from you. We have no understanding without you. And God, that's why our hearts break for people, God, who rail, who don't know you. Because it's not wisdom. So Lord, thank you for the reading and hearing of your word. God, now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, God, be pleasing to you. God, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a seat if you would. So just a few things I want us to see. The fear of the Lord occurs 11 times in Proverbs. And literally the phrase, fear the Lord, occurs 4 times. So the word beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning, or the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or knowledge. That beginning, and I know I'm throwing a lot of words at you today, but I want us to understand this, is the Hebrew word reshit, which means the start. We cannot gain knowledge of spiritual things if we begin at the wrong point. Refusing to fear the Lord is the wrong point. All right, we need to be recognizing God's character, responding by revering, trusting, worshiping, obeying, and serving him. Reshit also means the capstone or the essence. So the essence of true knowledge is fearing God. And apart from him, a person is literally ignorant, not only of spiritual things, hear me, they are ignorant of non-spiritual things. The words of Proverbs 1:7 are repeated in 9:10, and it's a capstone. That's why we're preaching 1 through 9. You have this capstone, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of instruction or knowledge. And then the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's beautiful the way the Holy Spirit laid this out for us. So then wisdom and knowledge, if this is true, do you guys believe the word of God is true? All right, so if this is true, here's how we apply this, all right? Here's why I'm calling the title today, Wisdom's Call for Salvation. Because wisdom and knowledge begin at salvation through Christ alone. You're like, wait a minute, Pastor, that's not what it said. It said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of instruction, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Exactly. What do you think the fear of the Lord is? The fear of the Lord is salvation. When you finally come to the place that you understand that God is holy and you are not, like that's what's wrong right now, right? Nobody's willing to admit their sin. Like everybody's just out yelling at everybody else's sin. Nobody's willing to say, I did this. It's my fault. I broke this. I was broken in this way. Everybody say, no, it's you. No, it's me. Like I've had to take a hard look at myself over the last 3 weeks and go, where do I have any sense that I think I am better than somebody else by the way I live, by the color of my skin, anything? And God, I repent. Like me, I repent. And folks, we all got to start there. Now I'm preaching. All right, here we go. Wisdom is gained through the Spirit of God revealing the Word of God to the people of God by the people of God walking in the fear of God. Now, I know that's a mouthful. Think about this with me. And if we don't get the other questions, I don't care. Wisdom is gained through the Spirit of God. That's what he's saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Wisdom is gained through the Spirit of God, revealing the Word of God to the people of God through or by the other people of God who are walking in the fear of God. You need the people of God. All right? That is why, I'll just be frank with you, that's why so many of us are messed up right now. So many of us are messed up because we've been holed up in our homes and we haven't been around the people of God. And I get, you're like, hey, I'm trying to flatten the curve. Man, I flatten the curve too, but eventually we're all going to die, right? And I'm not saying we all need to run and die. I'm not advocating for carelessness, but I am saying you need people. And I'm not saying it, God's saying it. So it's worth reading again. Wisdom is gained. And I know what you're thinking, but if you'll just quit your butt for a minute, all right? And listen to what God is trying to say to all of us. Wisdom is gained through the Spirit of God, revealing the Word of God to the people of God, by the people of God, walking in the fear of God. You say, where are you getting that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Look at the next verse. Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. It says, hear, my son, your what? Your father's instruction. And forsake not your what? Your mother's teaching. Hey, those are people that you need to be around. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. So, last question is this. What is the fear of God? And why is it the foundation and substance of our faith? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11 says this. Therefore, this is crazy. Look at this. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord. Look at this. We persuade others. What are we persuading others to do? But what we are is known to God, and I hope it's also known to your conscience. What are we trying to persuade others? That word persuade means to induce with words to believe. That's what persuade means. So in Acts 26, Paul's talking to King Agrippa. You remember that? And he is persuading King Agrippa to believe in Jesus Christ. This is our task as the people of God, to persuade others to put their hope and faith in God himself. So you may say, well, Pastor, what's the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord is us standing in reverence and awe of God and to humble ourselves before holy God. Because look at what the verse says right before verse 11. In verse 10, it says this. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, known as the Bema seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is due for what he has done in his body, whether good or what? Evil. And so since this is true, since we're all going to stand before the judge, all of us will stand before the judge. Look at what the next verse says again. Knowing the fear of God. Like when I say you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, if that doesn't make you go, I know what I said on Thursday. I know what I did on Tuesday. And I have to stand before Almighty God and answer for that. Therefore, knowing the fear of God, knowing that he's holy and I'm not, but praise be to God, because of Christ, he's given me his holiness. I make it my aim to persuade others. Persuade others to what? Fear God. Fear God. Knowing the fear of God, we then seek to persuade others to faith and fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Three questions, so you can look at Acts 9 later. Three questions we have to answer about the fear of God and wisdom. And team, you guys go ahead and come. We'll close with this. Three questions I want you to ask yourself, and I'm going to ask myself too. And I've asked myself these three questions since Tuesday of this week. Tuesday night, started asking myself these questions. And we're gonna even if we go over a little bit, we're going to spend time at this altar today. I want you to answer these three questions. And I want you to answer them for yourself, not for somebody else, not for those person on the news. I want you to answer it for yourself. And I am dead serious. Three questions you got to ask yourself. Here's the first one. Why is the fear of God so important yet absent from your life and my life? Like, why do we walk around as if God's not holy? Why is the fear of God so important, so crucial to our faith and absent from our lives? You look at verse 15 of Proverbs 1, then all the way through 33, and you see wisdom crying in the streets, begging, don't go with the sinners, don't walk with them. Sorry, verse 10. If you look at verse 10 for a moment, he says, my son, if sinners entice you, he says, do not consent. Don't consent. Don't go with them. Wisdom's calling in the streets. Come listen to wisdom. Listen to wisdom. Verse 33 says, whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. If the fear of God is so important, why is it absent from our lives? I want you to ask yourself that. Second thing, what does it mean to walk in the fear of God? Now, when I say fear of God, when the Bible says fear of God, this is not fear that God is going to put his hand on you like a spanking, but it's the fear of God that God might take his hand off of you. He would take his hand of anointing off of you, that hand of blessing off of you, that hand of direction of comfort off of you. Why? Because you sin. Sin leads us to not fear God. This is why confession is so important, and confession to a trusted brother and sister is so important. Because when you don't confess your sin, and you sin and you stay in your sin, here's what happens. You begin to fear punishment. And then you begin to fear other men and women. And then you begin to fear disappointing those men and women. And then you begin to fear upsetting your way of life, and you're willing to do anything to protect your way of life, as opposed to simply just trusting and fearing God. If you fear God, God will give you supernatural power to overcome sinful desires. I'm going to read this. Proverbs 16:6. Man, this is so good. It says, by steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. And listen to this. By the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. Woo! You fear God, you turn away from evil. People do evil because they don't fear God. It's that simple. So when we fear God, God will give us supernatural power to overcome sinful desires. He will give us supernatural wisdom. Psalm 25:14 says, the secrets of the Lord are with those who fear him, and to them he will reveal his covenants. God will also give you supernatural power for your life. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord literally encamps around those who fear him. So here's what I want you to ask yourself today. I want you to ask yourself this today. How can you put a handle on the biblical truth of fearing God and walking in it, meaning we apply his wisdom. And we don't have time. I'll put this out in a different email later this week. But literally, we go through the entire Old Testament and New Testament and show you people who literally, they said, fear God. I feared God. They feared God, and then this happened. And then this happened in their life. Isaiah 6, one of the best examples. When he saw God in his holiness, what did he do? Did he walk up and give God a big high five? Did he go give God a chest bump? Did he go, you're my bro, God? Is that what he did? No, he said, woe is me, I'm a man of what? Unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. That's our invitation today. So would you join me up here? If you need to give your life to Christ, give your life to Christ. If you need to join this church, join this church. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Pray that God would help set your heart right, that you might walk in the fear of God. Let's pray. God, would you move and speak to us now, Father, as we close this time of worship? Father, as we literally repent, God, help us to be a people, God, who fear you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You come as we sing. Stand with us.